We also wanted to know if that sniper was an untrained guy who just got lucky, or a guy with a pretty nice rifle and a pretty nice scope, whether he was positioned professionally when he took a shot, who trained him, and where he was getting his money. We learned that quite a few of the improvised explosive devices were coming from Hezbollah, and a lot of the training of the snipers was coming from Iranian forces. But to begin counter-sniper measures, you have to understand how a sniper team operates, how it sets up, and what tactics it uses. The best people to talk to about that were our own professional snipers, and we had several former Special Forces snipers on our improvised explosive device task force and in the asymmetric warfare group. Between their expertise and knowledge and the operational need statements we were getting from the field, some of it from task force members themselves, we were able to get some technological assistance for counter-sniper operations and additions to their fundamental equipment allowances. Almost immediately, the unit started requesting rifles with more capability than the M16 and the M4. One brigade in the 101st Airborne Division, Air Assault, requested the return of the M14, which was the standard-issue U.S. rifle until the mid-1960s, because of its longer range and accuracy with a scope. So we took the M14s out of depot, issued them to the unit,